The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd. That's a comforting thought, something we sing about, something that we pray about, something that we talk about in our liturgy even. One of my favorite children hymns is all about this understanding of God as our shepherd, or in particular, Jesus as our shepherd. I still sing it to my children at times. Our Catherine Winkworth rendered it in English in the following. Seeing I am Jesus' lamb, ever glad at heart I am. O my shepherd kind and good, who provides me daily food, and his lamb by name doth call, for he knows and loves us all. Guided by his gentle staff, where the sunny pastures laugh, I go in and out and feed, lacking nothing that I need. When I thirst, my feet he brings to the fresh and living springs. Must I not rejoice at this? Here is mine, and I am his. And when these bright days are past, safely in his arms at last, he will bear me home to heaven. Ah, what joy hath Jesus given! These words speak of the closeness between God and us individually. They speak of gentle, compassionate, and understanding care. I think there's something odd, for few of us really ever experience how a shepherd cares for the sheep, even for those that do. Animal husbandry practice in New Zealand is normally quite different from the image presented in the Bible. For the image of the shepherd in the Bible was based on family members of small farmers looking after the family flock. Here in New Zealand, sheep are often held in their thousands across large paddocks. Yes, I know farmers are concerned with animal welfare here as well. They're concerned whether sheep have access to sufficient grazing and water, to shelter and important minerals. They do maintain the fences that are supposed to keep the sheep from harm, and also from too much feed at the same time, and to keep the sheep easily accessible and within the property boundaries. Farmers generally look after sick animals, especially if that sickness can affect the whole flock. But here they do not lead their sheep to water. In fact, they don't lead them anywhere, but rather farmers drive the sheep to the next paddock or to, or they may muster them for shearing, crutching, dipping, and selling. Of course, here in New Zealand, most farms today are agribusinesses that need to make money. But many farmers have a sense of responsibility for their animals nevertheless. They don't just watch out for their finances. Still, maybe these days we would not come up with the image of the farmer and the sheep if we were to describe our relationship to God. Indeed, many of the shepherds, and those are the shepherds that are called shepherds, now many of the shepherds here in New Zealand I've met are quite rough guys and use very colourful language. Recent news has also coloured our perception of the relationship between sheep and the owners. After all, just this past week, a ram killed two people on a small farm near Auckland, and apparently one of those people was quite experienced in handling stock. This dangerous behavior of rams is not uncommon, especially if they are hand-reared. My own mother walked around for a few weeks a while ago with a black eye after a ram threw her down and butted her in the face. And later on, she was injured by another ram. So they can be quite vicious, especially if they're, you know, close, used to humans and have large and are large and have horns. Now, even in a country that has as many sheep as New Zealand does have, and I know it's only about half the number of sheep of what it used to have 40, 50 years ago, but in a country like New Zealand, we therefore need to be careful of applying our own experience of sheep and shepherds to the words of the Bible. Rather, we need to remember that different farming practices stand behind the words of the Bible. I think overall that has been fairly well understood. Otherwise, the psalms, hymns, and songs about God being our shepherd would not have been quite so popular, especially here in New Zealand. In ancient Israel, shepherds normally led the sheep of the family or those of the clan, just as they have done in the Middle East for millennia. The shepherds do walk in front of the sheep and they follow. And so the sheep are led from pasture to pasture and from pasture to streams or wells. At these watering places, sometimes the different flocks would mingle. And as they then depart from there to their pasture, each shepherd would call his or her sheep, and these days there are many female shepherds as well. So the shepherd would call his or her sheep, and the sheep would recognize that voice and leave the crowd of sheep to follow their shepherd. When the flock arrives at a pasture ground, the sheep normally spread out and graze while the shepherd stands or sits somewhere watching the flock. And I still see that in Israel today, where the shepherd sits and watches the flock. Now, of course, these days it's a bit different because they have to negotiate motorways and other roads that make life difficult for shepherds. Now, towards the evening, the shepherd leads the flock to one of the many enclosures that dot the landscape, often small caves. And the shepherd would sit at the entrance of that enclosure to protect the sheep. On other days, the sheep are led back to the house, which in the past, those sheep would have often shared with their human owners. As we read in Psalm 23, a common prevention against flies was anointing with scented oils. Oil was also a common remedy against parasites. The shepherd, therefore, knew each individual sheep of the flock and could name it and would watch after it. Now, of course, in the ancient world, sheep were kept for their wool and their meat, just as they are today. But some of that aspect of the shepherd-sheep relationship somehow did not get in the religious imagery, so there's nothing, not much about slaughtering the sheep or anything like that. Rather, it's more positive image. Kings were also often compared with shepherds. In a sense, they were the shepherds of their people. And throughout these images of the sheep and the shepherd, it was the care of the shepherd that was emphasized. In Psalm 23, it's a very comforting care that speaks of closeness between sheep and shepherd. In other parts of the Bible, the protection of the weak against the strong is emphasized, or keeping the sheep from straying. As the protector of all sheep, the shepherd has to ensure that the sheep of the flock are treated justly. And since sheep have a tendency to wander off and get harmed, it was the duty of the shepherd to protect them from getting themselves into trouble. So as part of the role of the shepherd is to correct the sheep. That sort of correction may not fit that well with a modern notion of seeing God as our shepherd. Of course, in the New Testament church, the leaders were often also called shepherds, the church leaders. One of the main roles of these leaders, these shepherds, was to rebuke and bring discipline in the church. Now, I sometimes wonder when we talk of pastoral care that people realize that initially a large part of this was keeping people on the good path, sometimes with a few strong words and through pointing out wrongdoing or ways in which a person would hurt the community. Now, these are all the images of the shepherd that were around at the time of Jesus. And Jesus took the image of the shepherd and developed it further to show the people the relationship between himself, the good shepherd, and his disciples, the sheep. This shepherd goes beyond what a shepherd would normally do. He defends the sheep with his life. While there were indeed brave shepherds around, it would be extraordinary for shepherds to lay down their life for their sheep, even if they are owners of the sheep rather than the hired hand. But Jesus did exactly this. And so in a sense, that turns the imagery of the shepherd somewhat on its head, because the shepherd would give his life for the sheep. And so the care and concern for the sheep here in the case of Jesus was extraordinary. Jesus said that he gave his life voluntarily, not by accident, but rather so that the sheep may live. This connects with our overall message of the Bible, that Jesus died for us because he loved us. God loves each one of us so much that God was willing to suffer and to experience the separation of death for our salvation. With words like that, which even in ancient times went beyond the common description of a shepherd, it's little wonder that when we think of Jesus as our own shepherd, that image is quite distinct from how we see farmers interacting with their sheep. But it does show very clearly the great love that Jesus has for us, the willingness to give everything for us, and the closeness to Jesus of those who follow him. If we talk about the Good Shepherd, it gives us the language to describe what Jesus has done for us and how we relate to our Lord. Therefore, it's only appropriate that we remember in hymns and songs that Good Shepherd. In that way, we may understand God's comfort and strength, God's guidance and assurance in both good and difficult times.